for his goodness, for his precious and matchless grace. Amen. Amen. Before we get started, let me ask, do everyone has the dispensational charts in the back been passed out? If not, Brother Najari, please do so. The dispensational charts. Amen. If you run short, are those the dispensational charts? No, they are up under the bulletins. The dispensational charts. Amen. I have one extra here if needed. Hallelujah. Amen. Does everyone have a dispensational chart? Yeah. Amen. All right. Yes, they have. All right, let's have a word of prayer that we might obtain help in this time of need. Righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you for all that our ears have heard, our hearts have experienced thus far, and Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you, Lord God, for the word coming through our pastor, oh God, and encouragement and enlightenment that you give us through him and this ministry. We ask, oh God, that you will bless your servant now and cause me, Lord, to proclaim your word according to that which thou hast prescribed unto your people, that we all may be encouraged through enlightenment, through eternal knowledge, Lord, that you give us in this venue of time and physicality. Now bless us as we go, rule and overrule. Have your way, Lord God, in everything, in all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles where I usually go. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I want to continue. I don't want to get away from, I can't, according to the Spirit, get away from the sovereignty of God in election. But I want to give an alternate or an addition to that subject matter. And it goes like this. Understanding the sovereignty of God in election to salvation through rightly dividing the scriptures. Understanding the sovereignty of God in election to salvation through rightly or right division of the scriptures. Ellen Liverman is our designated reader. And Elder Liverman, I would have you to begin first in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 through 7. Elder, as always, feel free to read verses 1 and 2 from the King James Version. And then, Elder, in the interest of time, we'll go to the other verses, verses 3 through 7, in the interlinear Greek text. When you're ready, Elder.
Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, verse 1 through 2 in the King James.
Amen.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God.
By the will of God.
To the saints which are at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
And to the faithful in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus. We are only faithful as God enable us to be and to put forth faithfulness. But the faithful one in whom we abide, he is always faithful. Amen, unto his own and unto God's precious word. All right, verse 2, Ella.
Grace be to you.
Grace, 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 grace to you.
And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord continually designate himself as our Father. And he says unto us in Paul's epistles 13 of the 14, grace. Grace means kindness, benefit, goodwill. Amen. Benevolence, favor, grace he continually gives to us, and he says, and peace. So if we've been looking for peace, there it is. It comes from God. It's not in the things that we possess or those things around us. Mm-hmm. Our peace is from God, our Father, in the midst of, and in many times, irregardless of, those things and ones around us. He is our peace. All right. Let's switch over to the interlinear Greek text for the next verses, 3 through 7.
Interlinear Greek text,
verse
3 through 7. Blessed the God and Father of the Lord of us,
Jesus Christ.
The having blessed us.
Having already, eternally, bless us. Not them, us. All right, Ella?
With every blessing spiritual.
Now, when I say not them, I'm speaking of the non-elect. He has blessed us, the elect of God, in each and every blessing spiritual. And what else, Elder?
In the heavenlies are in Christ.
Right. All creation, visible and invisible, all rule and authority are in Christ Jesus. He is the preeminent one. All things abide in him. He is Lord over all. And especially to his beloved, he is our dear, precious Lord and Savior and life and hope and help. And he is our righteousness. Read on, Ella.
As he chose us in him.
Now, this verse here is very contradicted in Christendom. Our subject matter, again, is understanding the sovereignty of God in election or choice or choosing unto salvation. But through rightly dividing the scriptures, can we understand and know and relate to that? Read on, Ella. As he chose us in him.
Before foundation of world.
Before the foundation or creation of the world. That is the scriptures. Before, pre-creation, God chose us, not all, but he chose some unto salvation. And we are designated the elect. In election, you choose or you make a choice. And the very nature of making a choice in some means the rejection of others. He chose us in him. When?
Holy and unblemished.
Before the foundation of creation of the world, holy, that is separated unto him, and unblemished. What?
Before him in love.
Before him in love. Mm-hmm. Why are we unblemished? You don't know what I did last week. We are unblemished because Christ bore not most of our sins, not almost all of our sin. Christ bore all, absolutely all of our sin. All of our sin were placed upon him. All of his righteousness was accounted unto us. Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
All right, Elder. This is why we abide before the Lord our God and Father in love. In love what, Elder?
In love, having predestinated us.
Having. Everything is pre in eternity. aorist tense, having predestinated us, set our bounds. Amen. We have a course assigned to each of us. Having predestinated us.
To adoption of sons.
To sonship positioning or adoption of sons. Where?
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Christ, our Lord, our life, our Savior, our hope, everything. Christ is all, everything unto us. Everything. Without him, we are not. Without Christ. He is our life. We have no life but Christ.
I hear you.
This here in physicality, in testimonial physicality, it is already gone. It just hasn't manifested. Praise God. All right, Elder, read on.
To him, according to the good pleasure.
All right.
Of the will of him.
Adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to him. According
to the good pleasure of the will of him.
Pleasure of the will of him. Next verse.
To praise of glory.
And he did all of this. All of this. It was his good pleasure for this ultimate supreme purpose. To the praise of the glory.
Of the grace
of him. Mm-hmm.
Of him which he favored us in the having been loved.
Which he favored or bestowed or graced unto us in the beloved. And that is in the perfect tense in the passive voice. Perfect tense is a complete action in eternity. With ongoing results. This is why it was said earlier, 500 years ago we were in Christ. 5,000 years ago we were in Christ. The beginning of time, we were in Christ. But it just was not manifested or revealed. Especially we as Gentiles, it was not revealed. All right, verse 7, Elder.
Verse 7. Glory to God. In whom
we have
redemption.
We have redemption. We have been bought back by the blood of Christ.
Through the blood of him.
From our sins and its holding of us. Through the blood of him.
The forgiveness.
We have the forgiveness.
Of trespasses. According to the riches of the grace of him.
According to the riches of the grace of him. God has grace, eternal, everlasting salvation, hope, praise God, eternal glory unto us. He has graced it unto us, the undeserving. And we have nothing to boast about because the only difference between us and the non-elect is that God has chosen us and place all of our sins on Christ Jesus. We are no better than the non-elect. We just have the righteousness of Christ through the grace of God. That's what makes us different. That's what set us aside. If the Lord had not chosen us, if Christ had not borne our sins, all of them, we'd be a lost ball in high weeds. And even worse. Praise God.
Yes.
Now, most of God's people do not believe, amen, in eternal election. They believe and have been taught for centuries that you have got to do something in order to get saved. My friends, you do not get saved. We could not do enough, long enough, often enough, to get saved or receive the forgiveness of God and be deemed righteous. It was, amen, given or graced unto us, the righteousness of Christ. Mm-hmm. So most of God's people do not believe or do not go along with. Now notice what I said. God's people. The world care not about these things. God's people do not go along with eternal election unto salvation. They believe you got to get saved by various means, as Ella Karen Liverman put forth many of them so eloquently here the other week. Mourner's bench, shaking the preacher's hand, repeating the sinner's prayer. These things, if we do them, we have not done anything as a detriment, but that is the way that the Lord brings us. Until and if he has preordained or preassigned unto us to know and understand that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's the only difference. God's people are not in any detriment if they have been baptized thinking that that got them in Christ, or did the sinner's prayer thinking that that got them in Christ, or was on the mourner's bench thinking that that got them in Christ, or had to get a tongue thinking that that would assess their being in Christ. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, creation of the world. Before we could moan or repeat or anything, we were chosen in Christ. You have the elect of God and the non-elect. But most of God's people do not go along with eternal election that God freely graced us in the beloved, in Christ, because of one cardinal thing. They do not or have not been led to divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants. They lump all the Bible together and then assess they're in Christ or in God or in heaven, in the heavenlies or not, according to the different other covenants other than the grace covenant. We have been graced in Christ. And we have scriptural documentation, amen, showing and informing us that we are in good stead with our Lord. We're in no detriment. We are not trying to make it in. We have been in Christ Jesus from eternity, and there's nothing, nothing that can overrule that, negate that, overcome that. Nothing. We are in Christ eternally before the creation of the world.
Amen.
That's Ephesians 1 and 4. So then, we are going, Ella, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1. I'm going to try to get to 5, but if I do not, if I stop at 3, we're going on another journey to share and show the dispensations and covenants of God's word. Amen.
King James is Greek.
Elder, let's go with the Greek. Mm-hmm. But first of all, I want to bring out two things to you. When we speak of the aorist tense, it is a completed act. And the only place you can have an act that was always completed, it never becomes an act in progress. It is always a completed act. The only venue you can have a completed act is in eternity by the one, the origin or source of it, God, our Father. So we want to keep two things in mind in studying our scripture, our truth, which we will find in a minute that it is ours, the mystery, the grace covenant, actualization, actual or actualize. Actual, it means to bring into being. Only God is the creator. No one else is. Bring into being or cause to exist as a fact or as real, not virtual. Praise God, as our pastor mentioned earlier. Amen. Actualize. Amen. It is real. Now, virtual is in God's decree, but it is only testimonial. Next word or term is manifestation. These terms you will hear over and over again in this assembly and in this ministry. Manifestation, actualization is what God, in the short of it, what God has said. What God has by one saying, Hebrews 11 and 3, spoken into existence. Actualization is what God has said. Manifestation is what God reveals or show unto creatures and creation. Manifestation is what we see. Actualization is what God has said. If what we see conflict with what God has said, we'd best, for our comfort, for our peace, be enabled of God to go with what God has said. All right. Yes. Manifestation is that which you can see, that which is revealed. Actualization is that which causes a thing to exist, or that which brings a thing into being or existence. And manifestation is the seeing of those things. All right, Elder. We're going to look at dispensations and covenants. Mm-hmm. Let me say this. Let me read this before we go forward. This is from the document, God's Sovereignty in Election to Salvation, which I've been ministering from for almost a year. God's sovereignty and election to salvation. God's supreme power or authority or his absolute right in choosing some to salvation and not all. Salvation is our eternal relationship or sonship positioning in Christ or to God in Christ. It is deliverance from sin and its consequences, separation or eternal death. It's deliverance from that. It is preservation or deliverance from harm. I'm not talking about you stump your toe. I mean ultimate harm, ruin. When we are out of this venue, we are still safe. We are glorified already, even though we abide in the weakness of the flesh in manifestation. It is deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. We are safe because we abide in the safest place in all creation, actually, truly, actually. That is the body of Christ. We are in this dispensation. The Grace Gospel Church Ministry believes and teaches the absolute sovereignty of God in election of individuals to salvation. We believe that our designated assignments to everlasting life were preordained or predetermined in eternity. God is not making daily decisions. God is not waiting to see what you do to get you into heaven or give you forgiveness of your sins. Our sins have already been forgiven. Our actual position, actualized position, real, true, eternal, is in the body of Christ where there is no sin. Sin only abides temporarily in the created entity of time regarding us, and it's only in these temporary bodies. None in our actualized abode in Christ Jesus. We fully realize that this doctrinal position has been disputed and contested from the time our beloved Apostle Paul wrote his epistles until the present. and will continually be debated up to the moment our Lord Jesus comes for his church, which is his body. I want to make that plain. You're going to hear another term. We are the body of Christ. We are not associated or signed with the Gentile nations. That's going to come up. The writings herein are intended to allow the scriptures, the word of God, properly exegeted. That prefix ex means out. Exhume, dig up out. Exhale, blow out. Extreme, way out. Properly exegeted and rightly divided, as in 2 Timothy 2:15. Rightly divided. Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of God or the word of truth. The scriptures have to be rightly, properly divided for us to have comprehension when God is speaking to us as a directive or informing us of who we are and what is our eternal abode. We have to be in the right place. We might be over in anything but the dispensation of grace and thinking that we are in detriment of our eternal abode in Christ. We might be shaky about it. All right. That properly exegeted, bringing out the literal meaning of the scriptures, going to the literal language, not to be saved. We were chosen in him, saved before the creation of the world.
Yes.
But to be properly informed as to our salvation and our eternal abode.
Yes.
Properly exegeted and right divided to convey the truth in love. We pray that God will give illumination and elucidation. It is exhortation that makes something clear. According to his will, God has not given all the same degree of comprehension. Mm-hmm. But according to his will, we pray that he would minister it unto those whom he has chosen to his glory. We only ask that God's people. I want no one out there to think that we think that we are the only ones that are God's people because he has given a little enlightenment unto us. That God's people will read our commentary of the following verses of Ephesians chapter 1 as well as other supporting scriptures with an open heart and give all the praise and credit to him for his magnificent deeds. All right. Now, from that plateau, Ella, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1.
Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
Of this by reason I, Paul.
This, that is a demonstrative pronoun, and it is identifying something close and something specific. Another demonstrative pronoun is that, or another is then, but they are all talking about specifics. Now, this pronoun, this, is in the neuter gender, the genitive case, neuter gender. And therefore, it modifies a phrase or a noun that is also in the neuter gender. So we're going to, I brought that out so that we can see what Paul is talking about because of this. We're going to find what this is. I learned that by coming to Bible class. All right. I, Paul, what, Elder?
The prisoner of Christ Jesus.
I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, what?
On behalf of you, the nations.
Yes, he was, amen, a prisoner of Christ on behalf of the nations, but it does not qualify as it does not, praise God, having the neuter gender. Neuter meaning neither. All right? Verse 2, Ella.
If indeed you heard the stewardship of the grace of God.
If indeed you heard the stewardship or the dispensation or the economy or the management of a household or the administration of the grace of God. The grace of God. The dispensation of the grace of God. And we're going to tell you in a minute what a dispensation is. All right, what else?
Given to me for you.
The dispensation, an entire dispensation given to me. I'm held prisoner of Jesus Christ. Even though I'm in a Roman jail, I'm more a prisoner of Christ for you or to you, what, than I am to whoever the emperor was, Nero or his cousin. All right. If surely you have heard the dispensation of the grace of God given to me, not me and Pete, not me and John, not me and Bartholomew, not me and Thomas, given to me. What, elder? To
that
you,
by way of revelation.
That by way of revelation.
Was made known.
Was made known. Now the 12 apostles, they walked with the earthly manifested Lord Jesus Christ. They were taught by him daily. And they were given the instructions, amen, on the earth daily and verbally. Paul was not one of that 12. He received, amen, the knowledge of he had an authority of an entire dispensation through revelation of our glorified, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. He revealed this unto the Apostle Paul.
Yes, amen.
And gave unto him the headship, fellowship. Of the dispensation of grace.
Yes.
All right, read. Go ahead, Ella.
Was made known to mean the mystery.
It was. There it is.
As I previously wrote in brief.
The Lord gave revelational knowledge, comprehension, understanding unto Paul of the mystery to give unto primarily the Gentiles. That's why he was a prisoner. He had to. Many of us, we have not wanted to do sometime, probably, okay, me, not wanted to do things that the Lord had put insightfully upon my heart and my mind.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
But who is in control? Absolute control. God is in absolute control. He causes us to do according to his will. Hallelujah. We can't help it. There are some in the Bible that tried not to. Jonah, Jeremiah felt something. He said, it was like fire shut up in my bones. I had to speak. Jonah tried his best to get away from the Lord, but he couldn't. We belong, that's why we call him Lord. We belong absolutely, totally to Christ. Whether we feel like it or not. Whether we think so or not. We are members of his body and he is the head. He is our life. We have no life but Christ.
Amen.
When we depart this temporary abode here, consciously, we wake up where we've already been. We become aware of where we've already been, just like Paul did when he was taken outside of Lystra and stoned as they thought to death, left there unconscious, not conscious. But he said, I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of body, only God knows. That's where you are when you're unconscious, so they tell me. But he said, such a one was caught up to the third heavens. He knew where he was, even though physically he was not knowing or aware of anything going on. Caught up to the third heaven, and he heard things. So he was unconscious in physicality, but he was very conscious in spirituality.
I hear you.
And that's the way we are. When we part these bodies, we are freed from limitations, weakness, praise God, and all the other things that come upon us. Amen. All right. We're going to stop there, Ella. Take your dispensational chart. I'm going to share from some pages of a new booklet teaching tool that was put together by Deacon Victor Henderson and I believe our pastor's wife, Sister Cutler, and others. Amen. Of laying out the dispensational division of the scriptures. All right. Most folk don't believe, most Christians, that is, most of God's people, better term, do not believe that they were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and there's nothing that can take them out of Christ. But in our gospel, our truth, which many have not adhered to as directives. They've gone all over the scriptures for direction. There's only one truth, that which was the revelation of the mystery revealed unto the Apostle Paul for us, primarily, not exclusively, primarily the Gentiles, and who we actually are, members of the body of Christ. The word testament in the Bible is translated both covenant and testament, which denotes both a contract and a will. The standard practice of dividing the Bible into only two sections, namely Old Testament and New Testament, is widely misunderstood and inaccurate. And can lead God's people to great and annoying confusion and contradictions. The scriptures say that you were saved in eternity and that you already glorified, and you worried about something you read over in Amos or the Old Testament further back, that you shaking in your shoes that you're going to lose your salvation. Or in the gospel, praying that, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. Impossible if you belong to Christ. You're not getting in him. You've been in him from eternity. There's no losing anything. Praise God. It denotes a contract and a will. So, it can lead to confusion and contradictions when seeking to relate doctrinal principles for today in the grace dispensation. When we look at the messages of the Bible, the designation Old and New Testament could not possibly represent the entire covenant arrangements that God made with mankind down through the ages of time. In order to receive the right message for our lives today, you must, in order to receive the right message for today, you must divide the Bible according to the correct dispensation and covenant that applies to you, to us today. No, you won't lose your salvation, but to avoid confusion, according to God, you must, and frustration and lack of knowledge, you must divide this Bible according to dispensation and covenant arrangements. The word testament in the Bible, we read that. All right, Now we're going to give the seven dispensations, the first one being innocence. Next is conscious. Conscious means aware and knowing. Next one was human government, and that was under Noah. The first two were under Adam, and in them, the covenant for the in innocence and conscious, we had first the Edenic covenant, and then we had the Adamic covenant. Then we had human government under Noah, and then promise unto unto Abraham, and law unto Moses, and get this, the children of Israel. We have not, are not, have not ever been under the law. We're under grace in this dispensation. Grace. Then we have grace. And the head, then we have kingdom. Every dispensation has either a covenant that's bilateral, meaning you do your part, God do his part. Innocence and conscience were bilateral. God told Adam, in the day you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. So don't eat, and you won't die. And then consciousness, when they knew they were naked because they had sinned against God, their awareness kicked in. Before that, they were unaware that they were naked. Then human government, it was a unilateral covenant. God required Noah to do nothing. He just told him to build the ark. God could have built the ark himself. He could have spoken it into existence. Amen. And then God told who to come in and who not, who would not come in. Those are the only ones that were able to come in and be saved.
That's it.
It was a unilateral covenant. Then promise. And God shut them in, else they would have drowned like everybody else. Then promise. Abraham. It was a unilateral covenant. God went to Abraham. Abraham was minding his own business with his idols. And God came to him and told him that I'm going to take you to a land that I'll show you, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and all nations of the earth will be blessed in you. Then we had law, the Mosaic covenant. Moses was the federal head, and it was unto Israel. The law was unto Israel. And we had the grace covenant. It's a unilateral covenant. God put all the onus on him. We are graced unto salvation. And it was before the foundation of the world. So how are we going to do anything to receive it? And then kingdom. We are not subjects of the kingdom that will come. The kingdom is on hold. And in the kingdom, we have the Davidic covenant enacted or manifested. That has to do with the kingship according to the Lord's promise to David. Of a son of his will reign forever. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have the Palestinian covenant, which has to do with the land. Not that little swivel of land that Israel is on today. Then we have the new covenant. They broke the covenant. So God made a new covenant unto them, a new covenant. The new covenant was to the ones that had the old covenant. We are not recipients or under the new covenant. All right. Next. Thus, the division of the Bible are not actually twofold, old and new covenant, but seven, as defined by the various dispensations of God's covenant dealings with mankind during the ages. A dispensation means to dispense or administer an economy or the house rule or an administration, a particular program or set of operating instructions that God dispenses for man's obedience during a time. A dispensation is not the time period, However, it covers a period of time. The issues is the policy, the program, or instructions, God's instructions, not time. Remember, time is an interval of space God created and set to implement his eternal, perfect, unopposable will and purpose. A covenant is a pledge, alliance, contract, agreement between two or more parties. There are two types of covenants between God and man. They are either bilateral, meaning those given the instructions do their part and God do his part, or they are unilateral, meaning everything, all obligations are the responsibility of God. No responsibility is placed upon mankind to effectuate or bring about the covenant. Grace means just that. We're in the grace dispensation under the grace covenant. First one was innocence. They were naked and not ashamed, having no knowledge of sin. The Garden of Eden is where we begin with our first dispensation. They had no knowledge of sin. According to our gospel, our contract, all sin, eris indicative, according to God's decree, all sinned and come short of God's glory. They were not conscious of sin. They were sinners by eternal decree, although they were not conscious, aware, and knowing that they were sinners. Then when they ate of the fruit, sin did not begin. Sin was manifested. Again, Romans 3:23. All sinned by eternal decree and come short of the glory of God. Everything is in God's decree or saying. Manifestation is just testimony of what God has predetermined or ordered into existence. Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. God gave Adam one condition. Don't eat of the tree of good and evil, for in it you'll surely die. They were tricked by the serpent. Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. Their eyes were open. They were conscious. That's brought on the dispensation of consciousness. They knew consciousness, awareness, and knowing. They knew that they were naked. It's the second dispensation. Naked and ashamed, being exposed to the influences of evil, Adam and Eve were banned from the garden and the tree of life separated from them because of the nature of sin. Next, we had the third dispensation, human government. Evil grew over the land, and God caused a great flood upon the earth, saving only Noah and those in the ark with him, his family. This is the dispensation of human government. God promised not to destroy the earth again. This is the Noahic covenant. It was a bilateral covenant. Noah didn't have the wherewithal to fulfill this covenant because when he came out of the ark, it still wasn't on his righteousness. When he came out of the ark, he got almost as drunk as I used to get 41 and a half years ago. God promised not to destroy the earth by water again, making the rainbow in the sky for a token of his word. Noah's family and all living creatures upon the ark were used by God to replenish the earth. Then God called Abraham out from the people to a promised land to be a blessing to all nations. Yes. We are, in this dispensation, the body of Christ. We are not allocated to the nations that will be blessed according to Abraham. We are the church, which is Christ's body. I believe that's in Ephesians 1:21 and 22, I believe. Now the Lord said unto Abram, go unto a land I will shew thee, and I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you and make thy name great, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We are the body of Christ, not the nations, as in the blessing of Abraham. We are not dependent upon the blessings of Abraham. Later, God called Moses to deliver the law, deliver Israel from slavery, and to give Israel exclusive laws and commandments to follow. This is the dispensation of law, the fifth one. He said, therefore, if it is a bilateral covenant, they do their part, God do his part. If ye obey my voice and keep my covenant, then and only then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And you shall be unto me, get this church world, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. That's not us. We are the body of Christ. These are the words God spoke to the children of Israel. Yes. That is the law from Exodus 19:5 to Malachi 4:6, the old covenant or Old Testament. Transitioning between the testaments, the time between the last writings of Malachi and the appearance of Christ is known as the intertestamental, or between the testaments, or covenants. That period. There was no prophetic word from God during this period. Some refer to it as the 400 silent years. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, continues the narrative under the law. With the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the anointed of God, recording his life of 33 years, the ministry and miracles on behalf of the Jews to confirm the promises made unto the fathers with the presentation of the kingdom that is rejected by the Jews of his time. They rejected the king, so the kingdom and the gospel of the kingdom is on hold. They rejected the king, but the king will return to save Israel and the other elect of the nations joined, which will be joined to Israel in blessing. Amen. And they will receive their king and the kingdom. The domain will be established under the rightful king, according to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Jesus foretells the result of Israel's rejection in the parable to the wicked tenants, but I won't go into that. The rejection of the kingdom by Israel and its subsequent manifest delay, or it being put on hold for the last 2,000 years after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into the heavens, the book of Acts, called Acts of the Apostles, records the pivotal transition from law with rejection of the kingdom by Israel. Caesar, Pilate said, here's your king. They said, we have no king but Caesar. So they rejected the king. The kingdom or the domain could not be established. And so the domain, kingdom, is put on hold. Every dispensation has three things. It has a federal head. It has a covenant or contract for that dispensation. They don't cross over. And they have the gospel truth for that dispensation. The truth of kingdom is different from the truth in the grace dispensation. And certainly law is. Praise God. Amen. We are in the body of Christ. We are not waiting for a Messiah. That's right. We have been from all eternity in the body of Christ.
I hear you.
Praise God. So, Jesus himself manifestly transitional, manifest initiates the transitional process in Acts chapter 9 on the road to Damascus, though a persecutor of the early church by one named Saul. Amen. God reveals the church, the body of Christ, to the Apostle Paul. That's what he said in Ephesians 3 and 2. To minister to the Gentiles, predominantly Gentiles, this grace mystery truth is our present dispensation. It has lasted now for around 2,000 years. And it will come to an end when we are taken out of here. And the Lord will go back to dealing with Israel and those covenants that he made, amen, with Abraham and with Israel. Does that mean we the Gentiles are considered spiritual Israel under the law and heirs to Israel's earthly blessings since they've been put on hold and heirs to the promised land? No! And a definitive no. It was pointed out in earlier writings that the Bible contains many specific messages for given individuals and even nations. Those Gentile nations, according to the Abrahamic covenant, will be joined in blessing with Israel. That's not us. We are the body of Christ. Our blessing, for we were chosen in him before the foundation or creation of the world. We're not waiting for nothing to manifest but our manifestation in the body of Christ. We already are. We are. The earlier writings of the Bible contain specific messages for given individuals and nations, and some of these have either been or are being or are to be fulfilled. Praise God. We are the church. The body of Christ. In the present dispensation, the grace dispensation. Elder, would you please read Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 again for us? And we'll close with that.
Ephesians chapter
3, verses 1 through 3. I should have given you warning.
Chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 in the Interlinear Greek.
Yes, sir.
Of this by reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you, the nations.
The nation people, the body of Christ were primarily taken out of the Gentiles. Primarily. Amen. Paul himself was Jewish. All right.
If indeed ye heard the stewardship of the grace of God.
The stewardship or dispensation of the grace of God, which we are in now and have been in for 2,000 years.
Given to me for you.
Not given to us, given to me to deliver unto you. All right, and certainly not the 12. They were assigned the kingdom and the kingdom gospel. Ours is for direction is the grace gospel. Read, Elder.
That by way of revelation.
Way of revelation.
Was made known to me the mystery. As I previously wrote in few brief.
All right. Go ahead. Read 4 and 5 as well, Elder.
As to which ye can read in. To realize the understanding of me.
The understanding of me. When you read, you realize the understanding of me and how I come by this.
In the mystery of Christ.
In the mystery of Christ. He didn't grab this off a shelf somewhere. It came straight from the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of all creation. All right. Verse 5. And finally.
Which in other generations.
In other generations.
Not was made known.
Was made known.
To the sons of men.
To the sons of men. Nobody. That's why it was called, when he received it, the mystery. Unfortunately, it's still a mystery to God, many of God's people. God's people. It's still a mystery. But it's theirs, their contract. It contains that contract, even if they haven't looked into it. All right, finish up, Ella.
As now, it was revealed to the holy apostles.
It having been revealed, that was eternally decreed to the holy apostles.
And of him. And the prophets in spirit.
Please, do not think that he's talking about Peter, James, John, and the rest of the 12.
That's right.
Nor the kingdom or Old Testament prophets. No. Look into Acts, the 14th chapter, I think the 14th verse, and the 15th chapter, the 32nd verse. He is talking about the grace apostles and prophets. Amen. Not the kingdom and Peter and them. Amen. They have their gospel, and theirs is the eternal earth in blessing and the New Jerusalem. Ours is the most glorious of all. We are members of the body of Christ. Nothing tops that. Praise God.
Nothing. Like they said down south, no thing. Nothing. No thing. Nothing, church. We are so